Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon Franchisor SPD LLC.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Bouncing with that drop.
KCP in the middle. Bounce, Larry. There! Throw that baby down.
Oh my goodness.
What hard? Are you kidding? With some anger.
How did Kyrie get out of that double team?
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right by.
Oh! Does anybody know how to close video?
Welcome back into the Drop Step Podcast. This is episode 48. I want to say thanks to the folks checking us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Shaq's Food Radio. Shout out to Big Shaq. Home team Brandon Leak here this week with the College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. He's also the all-time leading passer at Georgia Tech. His most touchdown passes. And he is a man whose name rings in the streets in South Carolina when he was roaming the hardwood with the Foxes. From his high school. Joe Hamilton is with us. We have Houston and we have the B-Dog Brandon Harper with a whole lot to get to. We'll get a chance to see if the Clippers made an upgrade or did they make a defensive move. We'll get a chance to see why Kyrie Irving got the vote. We'll get a chance to see if Trae Young got it done and if it is successful, what we saw All-Star Weekend. And we can just start with that. I don't know how you're going to improve upon All-Star Weekends. There have been some that have been memorable, some that we don't, some ups and some downs, but I'm here to say I think we were all thoroughly entertained. Three-point competition comes down to the final shot. Slam dunk competition comes down to the final dunk. All-Star game comes down to the final free throw. We were entertained.
Yeah, it was an awesome weekend as far as those events are concerned. The three-point competition, I think it's been undersold because of how controversial the slam dunk competition was.
Good point.
But, I mean, Buddy Hield, for some reason, he wasn't really even on my radar to win that thing. And then as I went back to my timeline looking at some of my friends, they're like, yo, y'all sleeping on the boy from the Bahamas. I'm like, okay, we might be. And then, yeah, he sure improved in that one. Chicago itself, as the host city, was awesome. I hate the traffic lights, but all around good experience walking around downtown and seeing all the different people just and a lot of people just walking around with just Kobe jerseys everywhere. So it was a pretty cool time.
Cold, wasn't it?
Boy, who you telling? It was like, I think I took a picture, it was like 5 degrees when I got in the car one morning. With wind coming off of that Navy Pier. It was
kind of cold.
Yeah, put like that Hulk was out. That Hulk was out. Every time you open the door, it was like, push it back, close.
And that's one of the – and Chicago is, you know, just seeing all the pictures and just seeing all the – with the water and the buildings. Chicago is one of those places, you know, that I hate that I missed and I was able to attend All-Star Weekend. So seeing everything that was going on, the tributes to Kobe, seeing all the Michael Jordan stuff everywhere, I was like, this is the – this is one of the most perfect places to hold All-Star Weekend because it's such a basketball city.
Town. Yep. Like
if that's the case, though, Hawk, why so long?
I don't know.
Since 1988,
great question.
Be all the way till 2020 to have it back in Chicago.
That's a great question. Well, I don't know.
Well, with everything being so much about money and how you're looking nowadays, when was the last real renovations that hadn't been done to the United Center, and as far as within the city, that would make them say, okay, now that we're coming into new age, new technology, has Chicago at the time caught up with it?
Good point.
But they did prove this past weekend that, oh, they were ready for it. They really
What was
were.
Your overall experience? You had boots on the ground. You got a chance to be around the players before and after and then watch the events. What was the overall experience you got from it? And, you know, how did the NBA do as compared to last year's NBA All-Star game?
Overall experience was phenomenal. Literally from the moment I got there to till leaving the next day, I mean, everywhere that I went, it was something that had to deal with All-Star. So everybody was all hyped up. So it was real cool. I've only been to two, and last year it was in Charlotte. So Charlotte being a smaller town, it's hard to compare it, but definitely blew Charlotte out the
it
water.
It was easier to get around in Charlotte, though.
It was way easier to get around Charlotte. Yeah. Definitely way easier to get around Charlotte. Yeah. But, I mean, just as far as the whole experience and just the people that were around, you walk around and just run into people because they were there for the weekend.
Right.
And stretching all the way from, my hotel was on the south side. Like, I was by the airport. So even from all the way from my hotel going all the way up by the pier and past, it was awesome. So it was a good experience. As far as the celebrities in town, that to me, the love that Chicago showed back to its home city, like everybody from Chance the Rapper and Common and just all the people that we saw up there, Jennifer Hudson's performance of that performance for Kobe, oh, I cried twice. I really did because I saw it. Originally, I wasn't supposed to, but they had closed rehearsals. So I kind of, made my way through, finagled some way through and saw it and saw the video. The second time around, because of where we were sitting, you couldn't see the video of it as it was going on, but still just her voice and just feeling
she's
it.
She's the one. She's the perfect one. Yeah. You talk about the power of the voice.
Yeah.
Just the overall emotion in. I'm sitting there at home watching just like.
Yeah.
You couldn't have found a better person to present that tribute for Kobe Bryant.
Honestly, because I remember when the Lakers had their first game back and they did it with Usher and all that, I was highly disappointed in that tribute. And I felt like you could have got somebody better than Usher to bring it in. I kept saying that to myself, but I never really voiced it. I'm glad that they waited to All-Star they really got it right this time.
I think Usher did well. I think Usher did okay with Amazing Grace. I really did. I think now, obviously, compared to what Jennifer did, I guess if we're trying to put those two up against one another, we'll probably go with Jay Hood.
I didn't get the feel. What I'm saying is I didn't get the feeling from the Usher one as much as I wanted the same feeling that I had from Jennifer. I wanted that feeling from the Usher one.
Oh,
I didn't.
No. So,
yeah, but
oh,
Jennifer
no.
put in her mind, she, body, and
she
soul
put,
into
yeah,
it.
She put a
and
toll
also,
in it.
Also, we forget, Jennifer Hudson is also – you know, she's also a victim of tragic events with her mother.
Right.
I think her brother also getting killed in one night, I think, in that city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So being in that city, providing that tribute for a guy like Kobe who died tragically, and she having family members who died tragically in that city, it just kind of all came around full circle.
You felt that energy. You could definitely feel that energy.
How about the player intros? Common, certainly one of the more talented artists, as Joe pointed out on our show, the Home Team in Hamilton show on the Sports X here in Atlanta, the fact that he did it, number one, I kept looking on TV to see if he was looking at a teleprompter, but the fact that he had to do all of the non-starters and the coaches.
Right.
And like the internet found, a word that rhymed with a Tentacumbo. This man should have gotten an award for his player in
here.
He
needs
a Grammy.
He did
get an award. He got that celebrity MVP that he didn't earn.
He need a Grammy, an Oscar, or something. Just off the intro. How do you...
That monologue with the whole Chicago tribute, oh my gosh. Like I said, to see it on TV, I don't know what y'all saw, but I saw it when there was nobody in the arena, like to feel that energy when he was sitting doing it. He had that little boy sitting there. I'm like, oh, that's gonna be dope when everybody actually is in here and the lights flickering with it. Oh yeah, it was dope. He did his thing. And then also Chance the Rapper's performance, that moved me pretty well too.
Extremely talented.
Yeah, not so much, you don't want no problems because I'm used to that. You're used to the I'm the One, Justin Bieber songs. I like the guests he brought out, but when he did Ultra Light Beam and when he went into the more gospel end of it, that was real touching. Like I was really feeling that as well.
How'd you feel about the anthem?
The anthem?
They should have got Shock up out of there.
He's up now.
No, no, no.
He's up. I'm the old head.
No. Okay. It don't matter. No.
I'm going to go on record and say it. I'm tired of stretching out the anthem. Why do we have to try to put soul on the national anthem? It's not our song, for one.
My opinion was the best way to curb some of these events where everybody doesn't agree is you have to have musical accompaniment, and that way we know when the song is going to end. That will limit the amount of runs.
Right.
You might be able to get you a minute 37 version or a minute 39 version. Right. But there won't be any more 2 minute versions of the song.
Well, home team, I'll put it to you like this. I can deal with the 2 minute version of the song if it's good.
Yeah.
That wasn't good.
Yeah. Some people had that opinion.
And I'm like this. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, and the minute they cannot understand or hear the words
to the song, right?
To the song. Anytime you butcher in the words and you're trying to do so much or doing too much that I cannot even, what are you saying here? What word are you trying to drag out? You, now it's all about you instead of being about the song. And I'm going this instrumental. In my opinion, just play Whitney Houston for all of them.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Everybody want to be Whitney, but nobody can be Whitney.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, and everybody want to try to put their own mark on it, but I feel like you've done enough of that throughout your own career. This is the one song, like, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. It don't need to be.
Who said okay? That sounds good in the rehearsal.
And
who okayed it as far as the rehearsal?
She's gonna pull. She's gonna pull a change.
No.
But
who's gonna be the person to tell her that's not okay and you need to change it?
Right,
Shaka Khan.
That's Fergie 2.0.
Right,
Fergie.
But you also have to recognize that, you know, the one that I remember, the one that kind of changed the game, if you will, was when Marvin Gaye did it in '83, and it wasn't with a band. He kind of did it to an R&B instrumental. So that was completely different. Still unique 35 years later. So that opened the floodgates to folks trying something a little bit different. Now, I would say most of the time it takes, and nobody has a problem, and we have tip-off or kick-off at our events and going about our business. Sometimes it doesn't take, and Twitter is on fire, and social media is on fire because you have differing opinions.
I like Shaka Khan. I grew up, you know, my parents played, you know, through the fire. Look, ain't nobody. Look, I love all that. It's just that it's one for me. It's been a while since I've heard Shaka sing. And Shaka, I've seen it on social media where she's gone to concerts and she's forgotten the words. So when I see a combination of certain things like that, and now you're sitting up on this big platform in Chicago at All-Star Weekend with all eyes on you, looking at you singing the national anthem, I was a little skeptical once she came up to the mic. I said, oh, this may not go well. This could go very well, but this could go completely south. And it went completely south.
It didn't go completely south.
Opinion.
Come on now. Boy, y'all.
My take of the anthem, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. I thought she tried to do a little bit too much with her runs. And some people can't appreciate that to know who she is. Clearly, the woman's voice is still solid as she's approaching 70 years old. That being said,
Between Whitney Houston's greatness and Carl Lewis's debacle, she's somewhere a couple of grades above Fergie.
She's third from the bottom because Fergie's below her, and then Carl Lewis is below her.
But that's what I'm saying. She's a couple of grades above Fergie, in my opinion.
And that ain't saying a whole lot.
Well, why wasn't basketball? Roseanne Barnes is one of the worst as well.
Right.
The Padres game.
Yeah.
2 years ago. As far as the game goes, are we going to love the new format? I could not leave the room. There were no commercial breaks in the fourth quarter.
Really?
There were not many substitutions once the starters came back in, and that fourth quarter was more than 40 minutes. So those guys were playing basketball for real. Question is, is it okay not to have time? Is it okay to watch guys get a little bit tired? Will the coaches moving forward have a different strategy? Maybe you bring your hammers in when it's 5 points to go, 8 points to go, instead of playing most of the quarter. Are we going to be okay if they stick with this moving forward?
Absolutely. I always thought that the NBA All-Star game was the better All-Star game of the major sports anyway. People say, well, they don't play defense, but I've always thought when it comes to being able to exude your talent and show enough of your talent with the oohs and the ahs, the NBA has the best, along with so many other things that are surrounding that weekend. But having having your teams, it all focuses on winning the quarter. Can you win the quarter because you win money for your charity? Now, we saw in that third quarter that both teams tied, so that money rolls over to the last, and that $100,000 turns into $300,000 because whoever wins, that's who walks away with it. To see when it – you don't need a clock because it's the first of 24.
No, it's not, though.
I mean –
it's not the first 20. It's only 24 for the person who's leading. If you're the person up under, that's -5, so it's 29.
Okay, there it is. Because I think the goal to reach was 157. I think that was the
target.
Yeah, the target
average
that
point
was 157. Mm-hmm. To see LeBron and the starting lineup for Team LeBron put themselves back into the game to kind of seal it. The only person that was in the game for them that wasn't a starter was Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Luka was sitting on the bench. They brought Luka out. Now, you got a lot of people of them 4 million voters who'd have been like, hey, we want to see Luka in at the last minute. 4 million of us voted. I know some people had an issue with that. But the starting lineup consisted of Chris Paul, LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, and
James Harden.
This is what happened in that fourth quarter. They put in the guys that you already know, the solidified
stars,
the veterans that are real closers and really know how to finish it or have been there and have reached the mountaintop. If you look at both rosters, because my whole thing was, why in the world ain't Trae Young in at this point when you only need a three-pointer?
Same reason Luka wasn't there. It's not their turn.
It's not their turn.
Within tradition of the All-Star game, the youngsters watch the veterans close the show, and Luka and Trae were on the bench. Moving forward, there'll be a day when they'll be playing, and LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards will be watching those guys in the fourth quarter close down the show.
I disagree a little bit.
Oh.
I disagree because it's somewhat home cooking. Siakam, what's the difference in Siakam? Siakam played the whole entire fourth quarter. Y'all telling me he's a crafty vet?
No, it also goes into who was coaching on
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying, home cooking as far as Coach Nick Nurse. Mm-hmm. And Nick Nurse not only had Siakam in there.
Lowry.
You're telling me Kyle Lowry is one of the top 10 players in the NBA?
Lord, no.
So I think that was all about Coach Nurse and his rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Now going forward, I didn't see how, when you're talking about load management, Coach Vogel didn't even care about load management.
Boy.
Because he had two of his maybe MVP candidates on the floor the entire fourth quarters. And that's what I love.
But also, Joe, one of those guys is LeBron James. Coach Vogel could say, LeBron, I'd like you to see it. LeBron going to play if LeBron want to go play.
That's correct.
So even though Anthony Davis may not necessarily be like that, one of those guys that Coach Vogel coaches is LeBron James, the man at the top of the mountain when it comes to the NBA, the one who everybody kind of concedes to when it comes to how this thing is going. If LeBron is taking it seriously, we all going to take it seriously. So he ain't just a regular star player that's, hey, man, I need you. That's LeBron James. You ain't telling LeBron James to sit down when there's competition around.
Now, Ice Cube has taken to social media, wants to know if he's going to get his credit. I don't know if the man wants to check. I don't know what he wants. The fact that the NBA adopted the rules that he has put in his Big Three.
Big Three.
A target number. You wonder if they're going to modify because Big Three is a target number and you have to win by two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really more street. Are they going to add the nuances and the wrinkles? He's a little bit upset. My question is, will we and should we see this in the regular season? In the postseason, this has been thrown around for a while, getting to a target score, especially in playoff series where you don't have to play a 5-minute or overtime or double overtime session. You pick a point total, 8-12, first to 8, first to 12, wins the whole thing, and then you move on to the next game or you end the series.
The question would be their home team is that in the regular season and in the playoffs, are you playing more so for that championship or for the fans? Now, I know the fans are a part of it, but who cares about the fans in the regular season and when you're trying to win a championship? That's not entertainment.
So the question is, which is better for the game? Because I'm telling you, the ratings suggest when they had 8 million people watch that game, second most game watched in All-Star history, there's something to it.
Yeah, but I don't know how that would necessarily translate to every game in regular season, playoffs, if you do that for every overtime or however you want to do it, fourth quarter, every overtime in the regular season and playoffs, because then it will become redundant, I think, after a while. I like the fact of it being just for the All-Star game because it's still making that event special.
What about the Big Three, though? That's every game. That's the championship game.
Well, they have to
game.
Be different.
But the Big Three, it's built on being different.
But here's the question also, because somebody made a very good point. If this was the way it always was, you always had to play to a target score. And then after 100 years of basketball, people say, you know what, maybe we should go to a five-minute overtime, or maybe we should time the fourth quarter. There would be some kind of resistance or some kind of, well, wait a minute, that's a little bit different.
Right.
We used to play into the target score like we do on the playground. Why do we need to go to a time session now? So anytime you infuse change, people are going to be a little resistant to it, but I don't know if this should be that far off from, especially when you're talking about load maintenance and giving people rest. You know, if you can play to eight and you got the Golden State Warriors out there, is it best to do that or to play three overtimes in a playoff game?
When it comes to regular season basketball and playoff basketball, I look at it, if it's not broke, there's no need to fix it. And because you talk about load management, how that could help that out. Think a team like the Clippers, for example. It could help out load management, but you're still going to see Kawhi sit out some games. Why? Because Kawhi is going to do what Kawhi wants to do, because it always works in his favor.
And plus,
Doc Rivers, they're going to always do what's best for them, regardless of what the rules may say.
And plus, when it comes down to those like real pressure games, oh, yeah, it's going into overtime stuff, especially when we're talking about playoffs, those ratings are going to go up anyways.
Anyway.
People are going to be paying attention to the fact that the game is going deep.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what will happen is that when you get the 1-8 seed, you have more eyes on those games.
Right.
Whereas now you can't just count those chickens before it hatches. Or even so that you already know now that, let's get this over with. If I'm playing against an eighth seed, this night we don't have to drag this out to four quarters. We can almost set the score, let them get to that score, and then it's over. Really, really quickly. Put them out of their misery, so to speak.
How do y'all feel about the game ending on a free throw?
Ooh.
I don't have a problem with it.
I kind of did. I said that would be probably the one amendment that it has to end on a two or a three.
How are you going to do that, though?
What do you mean?
Because if you start going to hat, everybody starts filing. Now you're taking the other side of it.
But that's the thing. So you go ahead. You're going to get fouled. Okay, you're going to go and you're going to put up those, but it's going to be meaningless.
What if he missed the free throw and the East gets the ball and goes back down and hits a three? I mean, still, my position is everybody knew you had to get to 157 at 8 o'clock. Right. Everybody knew at the end of the third quarter. Everybody knew what the number was. Everybody knew what you had to do. So all those free throws that James Harden missed, the free throws that Siakam missed, all of the turnovers that they had when Kemba Walker was stumbling and bumbling, all of that was a part of ending up with Anthony Davis getting the free throw opportunity. So I didn't have a problem with it, and you still got to make your free throw.
And I think if that's the case,
anti-climactic.
And I think that if that's the case, we'll still be playing.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're going to hack a Shaq, and they're going to keep on fouling, and they're going to not let anybody get up any shots.
Right.
And not only foul them the right way, they're going to start just grabbing.
Yeah, because in reality, you're right. I guess for everybody in their mind, we're so enamored by the game, it being tied or being down by one and somebody hitting that game-winning shot or being
right.
allowed to hit the game-winning shot. And in reality, that's not always the case.
You can win a playoff game at the free throw line, too.
Yeah.
If you ice the game, if you're up three and you hit a free throw, you're up four. The game is iced and it's over. I liked all of it. There is a concern. I was reading this article that NBA ratings are down. And maybe we'll also find out maybe a little fake fan base, too. NBA our ratings are down across the board over the local network broadcast or the local broadcast. The Warriors' viewership is down 66%.
That's easy.
Overall is down 13% across the league, which is significant but not a huge one. The Warriors' viewership is down 66%.
One word, five letters, stars. When your stars are out, hint, Golden State, you're going to take a hit, especially when you're moving into the Chase Center. First, it's not even a full year in the Chase Center. Steph is out. Klay is out. Kevin is gone. Draymond's not a star. You know, he's a very good complimentary piece. You're seeing a product on the floor that you're not used to seeing from the last five seasons. So that's going to be down. Plus, load management is a part of it. When the Clippers come to town – and Kawhi or Paul George, and maybe even both, are deciding to sit, more likely in your local networks, the Clippers are coming to town, let's watch. Oh, Kawhi and PG aren't playing, I'm turning the channel.
As far as the ratings, I just think maybe this is an interesting time, and I think Adam Silver is going to be monitoring this because it's the second year in a row.
Oh, yeah.
They've been down. And that's why I get back into, look, if that All-Star game ending finished, bumped up the ratings, you don't need to wait 4 or 5 years to start getting some rules. If it's something that will make the game more appealing to the masses and help you get more eyes on the product, you might need to start the next 2 or 3 years seeing if you're going to do that. That being said, they're not going to wait. They can't afford to wait. And you can't have 3 years of ratings going down. Now, I think next year will be a test for me because I think last year LeBron was out for the last 26 games and he didn't go to the playoffs. This year, the Lakers, the Warriors, whether you like them or you think they're the bad guys, nobody's watching those guys. Those are huge chunks of nationally televised games we haven't seen in 2 years. So if it all gets back together next year, that's when I'll make my judgment.
I think part of the problem is also, like, the parity that we thought we were really going to get this year in the league, I don't think that we've gotten it like that. Like we thought it was going to be more of a juggle in the East, but yet it's still Milwaukee than everybody else. You know, you think it's more of a juggle in the West, but really we're only ever talking about the Clippers and the Lakers, and then, oh, well, maybe there's a sneaky Houston team in here. Watch out for the Nuggets or the Jazz. But really, we know what's happening on a given night, at least with the games that are televised. You know, so it's like if I look at the television schedule and I see what games are coming up, oh, I already know the results of that. So what am I going to watch for? I'm not getting interesting games on TV half the time.
The problem, and I ask you about this, Joe, is it oversaturation? Because it used to be it was somewhat of an experience, a classic stop to watch an NBA game on Saturday or NBA on NBC, something like that. But now with the NBA package, something on ESPN every week, something on TNT, 4 games twice a week, is there an oversaturation? And then how much of, and not knocking these guys, but, you know, I think the Friday night game is Chris Paul, and I think they play in Denver. How many of those games and Jamal Murray, where he's good but he's not a superstar, are you throwing out there that's impacting the ratings when you just can't put the stars of stars out there?
Not many. Not many at all. And that's going to be a problem for the casual guy.
Right.
Are you trying to attack the casual guy? And to B-Dog's point, the casual guy is going to be attached or have their eyes on it with stars, no doubt about it.
Right.
But I tell you right now, Houston, I don't think the East is a foregone conclusion. Because I'm going to give credit to my early coach of the year, Coach Nick Nurse. Is that a whitewash right now when you say Milwaukee and Toronto matching up in the playoffs? And I'm just talking about regular season. And we know now Giannis Antetokounmpo, his shot, he's taking more threes. He's added that to his game. But will that be his game again in pressure-packed situations? Will he take that shot? We don't know how they're going to gel. A lot of people are talking about space and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons can't play together.
Right.
I don't know about that.
But to your point,
and over Spoelstra, and he's a 2-time champion, very good coach. You have a dog that's put his imprint, fingerprints on that entire situation and that entire organization, and Jimmy Butler added Iguodala. I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion. Now, Milwaukee's still my favorite, but I don't think it's a whitewash.
But I'm talking more to, like I said, the layman's experience, the guy who's just a novice fan who really is probably only watching for when it's the stars on and stuff.
Right.
They're not looking that deep into each of these rosters.
That's
right. Oh, yeah, Miami. Oh, no, they're really building something there. We might be seeing that.
That's
so
right.
We'll still tune into those games. But most people, they're still not seriously sitting there looking at Miami to think that they're a threat. They know that the Greek freak is this big freakish man out here who's doing some amazing things in the East, and he's in the number one seat, and he's got a lead of what, six and a half games
yep,
above the rest of the league. So that's all that they see. That's all they want to know.
And Kevin Durant. Once Kevin Durant, if he comes back this year, which I don't think he will, he shouldn't. But once he comes back to the East, boom, there you go. You got your nationally televised game, big market in New York, East Coast, West Coast, whenever those games happen, you kind of fuse. Once Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, greatest shooters in the history of this generation, boom, I think you get that shot in the arm. So I'm not really concerned. I'm going to wait until next year. If there's a problem 3 years in a row, and I think there is something to younger people not having cable or apartments,
right,
or cable TV and them streaming. There are some people who are not in the group that are counted with the ratings. If you can get those stars back, I'm going to give it one more year before I say, hey, they have a major problem because you have good enough of a product where your ratings shouldn't be different.
And also a guy like LaMelo Ball. You know, people, you know, we're talking about the whole Ball controversy. You
good
know,
point.
Came and went, you know, but you got another Ball that'll be coming out and be in the draft this year, this
summer.
And
he's grown up on social media.
Yeah, so.
And he's grown up in the international world. Exactly. So he's got a lot of international. He's got like some of those Luka and Porzingis type of international fans that are going to follow him from when he played over
and
there.
And it's not just him. Will his father reemerge? That's the other thing. Wherever he is, where, and that's the other intriguing part about it. Is does he have the hype that Zion had? Absolutely not. But a lot of his LaMelo's hype is not only attached to his game, but it's also attached to the reemergence or possible reemergence of his father. Is his father going to come back and say, "Hey, I got another one"?
I think we might hear from Daddy Ball maybe two or three times early on, just to say like, "Hey, I told you I was gonna get my boy here," type of stuff. You know, here he is, but he's not gonna be the voice of that kid. That kid, I think, is.
Well, you put a lot of credit.
You put a lot of faith in that man.
I go by what I see.
Well, but
show me that.
I don't know. I just think that Melo had more of. He has more of his own confidence and voice, anyways, that we didn't really see with Zoe when he came in. Like Zoe needed more of a mouthpiece to make him be a number two pick.
Food Michael Magic Johnson.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
but if you gotta think about it, if his dad was never speaking to any of that, would Zoe have been touted so highly? It wouldn't have happened. But I think with Melo, it's already been bred, so he don't need to put as much effort into it this time around.
Trae Young, did he give fans, organization, his team what he needed? I think he did. He was a part of just about everything but the dunk contest, and he gave us a couple of memorable moments. Him and Luka going back and forth when Luka knocked in that half-court shot. That'll be an image and a memory folks will remember when they're old and gray. Mm-hmm. And then his, you know, half-court shot to end the first half, being that he wasn't going to play a lot of minutes, you know, late in the game. He gave us minutes, and he finished the game leading the game in assists. So he was still able to get out there, play his game, make some memorable moments. I think Trae Young did what he was supposed to do.
And he nutmegged a couple of people, as Trae Young
trademark
casually does.
Trae being Trae.
We see that. It's funny. We see it all the time, being in Atlanta, being at State Farm. You know, we hear the oohs and the ahs, and it's just, you know, regularly scheduled programming. So to be on that national stage with the biggest of the biggest, and you're still able to casually play your game and put the rest of the nation on notice and to really be put in that spotlight like he did. If you knew casually about Trae Young before the All-Star game or All-Star weekend, you know about him now.
He definitely put his name in a different light. He did nothing but grow his stock. Outside of only 15 points in the three-point competition, which I hated the fact they put him going first, because I think that's what kind of set that up for him to do his
nerves.
Yeah, the nerves of it. So, like, outside of that, I think he redeemed himself with everything he did the rest of the weekend. And, yeah, like, what, he ended up having the number one play for the weekend on SportsCenter.
The half-court shot.
Yeah, the half-court shot was the top 24 play. Wasn't it? Because that's what they did.
It was like
a
number two or three.
No, it was number one.
Okay.
It was number one. So, like, he put himself, like, he showed why, okay, fans, we voted him to be a starter for a reason. He had all these millions of votes. Now y'all get to see why we did that. And now y'all could join in on the bandwagon.
And, you know, and I love, and I have love and respect for one, Charles Barkley. But one thing that I disagree with him on, and not just when it comes to Trae, but when it comes to other guys, being an all-star, to me, is not a team award. It is an individual player award, hence Trae Young, hence Devin Booker. You can't tell – and I know Bradley Beal got snubbed because you only can have so many people. He's having an all-star caliber year. Is his team bad? Absolutely. Is Devin Booker's team bad? Absolutely. Are the Hawks bad? Yeah, they are. Ugh. But these are individual awards. This is not the first time guys who've had great seasons thus far at the halfway point but have been on bad teams have made the all-star game. It's not a team award. I'm sorry.
Not only that, they'll sit there and be quick to put somebody in there for a legacy type of thing, you know. So it's like,
right?
y'all real quick to put somebody who ain't getting but 5-10 points a game right now and only averaging maybe 12 minutes or something. Quick to put them in there and want to make a spectacle of it, but the young boy who's actually coming out here and getting buckets, y'all want to hold him down.
Yeah, see, I don't mind at all when you're talking about the starters the way they are voted in.
no doubt about it. That's fans, so we can't have a problem with that at all. But to piggyback off of Trae Young right quick, when he shot that half-court shot, what I looked at and I loved was the fact that bench, they acted crazy because they were in touch with Trae Young. They love what Trae Young is doing. And Trae Young's job this entire week, past weekend, was more than what we saw. It was to recruit. Mm-hmm. It was to make sure you get in touch with whoever mm-hmm. you know, even Gobert.
Rub elbows.
And I think overall, with the grand scheme of things, if you rub an elbow and you letting everybody know that I might be on the market, come play with me, is a positive sign for all involved.
I think, it's an exhibition, and we weren't cheated out of anything. Mm-mm. Unless you were in a dunk contest. We'll delve into that just a little bit. Did Dwayne Wade, did he do too much?
They were not and pardon me, I wasn't able to watch that live because I was working.
Okay.
But based off of what I saw of the, you know, social media during the replays, with him, he gave a 9. Who else gave a 9?
I believe Chadwick Boseman.
They were not expecting the basketball guy to give that a 9. It could be somebody else, but Dwayne, we were not expecting you.
Are we talking about the dunk over Taco?
Yes.
Man, I'm sorry. I would have gave it a 9. I probably would have gave it an 8.
The man's 7'5".
Okay.
Even if he bends over an inch or two,
he's still barely cleared his shoulders. You barely cleared his shoulders. You took a man that was 7'5" and made him 6'9". I'm sat on his head by the time you get to the dunk.
But we're making it seem like there are a bunch of people in this world who could do what he did.
It's not about – that's not how we grade it. I don't grade – I go off of what I see and how it made me feel. And in the moment, I was way less impressed by that than I was by whatever else was going on before. I honestly felt that Jones should have won it the round before, the dunk-off before. They should have ended it there, and then it wouldn't have been that last dunk. But since they did – to me, why are y'all cooking it up to make it this whole thing? Oh, we're going to go back by and look at what all the dunk. No, judge the thing right, which, once again, is part of my problem with the dunk contest. Three-point contest, that's straight off facts. Yeah. Who makes more? The skills challenge, straight off facts. Who does better?
Yeah.
The dunk competition is straight up opinion. Like, that can't be my creme de la creme if it's based off of just how we feel.
Well, yes.
Let me say this real quick.
Yes.
I don't. Far be it from me to say that he got snuffed, because like I said, I didn't watch it live. I'm just talking about the issue at hand based off what a lot of people are saying. They were just saying that, look, I don't think Dwayne – he could have gotten a 9, but a lot of people were upset with Dwayne because, look, you're a basketball guy, and they were upset with that one of the 9s came from him.
Well, that's okay, B-Dog, I think, because that's his opinion. My problem, and I have a huge problem with it, why are you collaborating?
That's
all right. Why are you collaborating? Of the four of us in here right now, and somebody outside does a dunk, and we're gonna get our own score of what we think. That's no reason for me to ask Houston what he has. That's no reason for me to ask home team what his score is. So if we do 1, 2, 3, flip it over.
Y'all actually.
So that was my problem. Candace Park and everybody said that we were trying to have a tie. We were trying to do the best thing. You don't cheat off of me.
Exactly. That's not what you're supposed
no,
to do.
I agree.
Don't plan to make it even. No, that's
right,
not
agree. Right.
I thought it was close enough, and I take offense. And I'm with Aaron Gordon. I would never do it again.
I wouldn't either.
Has put on two exceptional exhibitions of dunking. And both times he's come up a little bit short. You can't cry when you don't get it your way. But both times you could argue you have seen something that not many people on the earth could do.
He was there at the end.
And to take a little bit of a shot at D. Wade, especially for a guy who has never been in the dunk contest, whether you think he should get over it, and I didn't like his comments afterward, he'll be able to get over it. I wasn't the only one that gave a 9. Didn't seem like, no, Derrick Jones Jr. was the best tonight, and I stand on my vote. No, I saw what I saw. It didn't seem like that to me. And you can say what you want. Scottie Pippen has been in a dunk contest, and for a man who never had to prepare, practice, and execute in front of millions of people, I think that's very cavalier to just take it away from a man who it meant so much to. He did it again, even though he thought he got jobbed the first time.
So would you say that only people who have participated in dunk contests before should be judges for
contests? No. You can be biased and have anything on your resume. But
I was just asking.
Clear that this set of scenario, that it was close. Dwayne Wade's vote made the difference. The guy who won was a Miami Heat player. Man seemed cavalier about the answer. A whole lot going into this for me.
See, my whole thing is because they were planning on tying them up, that means that you were supposed to know who all was supposed to give the 10s and who was that one person or whatever that's going to give the 9. And they didn't have that worked out properly. Whether it was Chadwick Boseman that's supposed to give the lower score and the rest of us give 10s or whatever it is, y'all didn't work that out properly. The fact that that's what y'all did, though, to me is what is upsetting. I just can't respect that. And for Aaron Gordon, yeah, don't do it again. But don't not do it again because, oh, you feel like you got robbed. Don't do it again because it's an opinion-based thing that really none of what they're saying is valid.
Yeah, but other thing, you know, to y'all's points is y'all thought that the conversation of the judges getting together is supposed to be pure. You're supposed to be a judge free of any thing you bring in, anything extra. It's supposed to be clear cut based on what you see, not the jersey that somebody has on if it's really close.
So then the judges cannot be a representative from said team that one of the players are in.
I don't know. Do we need to bring in an extra judge? Mm. If the Hawks are in the finals, there's gonna be a bias.
Dominique can't be in it.
Yeah. Do we need to do that?
Also, I want to bring up, and I know we probably talked a little bit about this before. You know, we talked about revamping the three-point contest, how it's become. And I'm of the belief, maybe not of the belief, but it's possibly a suggestion. We talked about this before. Do we think we should take NBA guys out of it and have actually guys who specialize in dunks put in it just for the sake of to see what it is those guys can actually bring to the table?
No, because I'm still a proponent of it's the NBA All-Star Weekend. This needs to be NBA players. You didn't earn the right to wear an NBA jersey, so no. Unless you are a celebrity who earned the right to go into that celebrity game, you have no business on the floor at this time.
Boy, I like the way that was put. That
yeah.
Was-
B-Dog, if you want that, I agree with you, Houston. If you want that, B-Dog, I mean, if you want them to be all-inclusive, have them participate on their own dunk contest on Friday.
Right.
There
could definitely be a whole other dunk contest before the celebrity game.
Put that on the DVR.
I get it, but I'm just saying, if it winds up being something that we've never seen before, opinions may change.
That's true. Lastly, Kyrie Irving voted vice president of the NBA Players Association. A little interesting on both ends. One, that it would be Kyrie, and two, it would be Kyrie. One, for me, clearly there's a relationship and connection he has with his peers that they trust him to be vice president of their Players Association. The other thing is he seems to be somewhat exotic, somewhat eccentric in some of his dealings with the media, but that doesn't necessarily make him a person who is incapable of looking out for players in business matters. I don't know what to do with this information.
I think we can only go off so much. I don't know what the players' relationship is like with him. I don't know what the players think about him. Obviously, the media has their thoughts about him based off some of the things that he said, but, you know.
All right, here's my thought about it. I don't think, from my information I've gathered on Kyrie Irving, that he's a good leader. What are you basing that off of, Joe? You didn't handle the locker room really, really well in Boston. You were a me guy, so to speak, and you just tore that locker room apart.
You haven't handled it well, right, technically, in Brooklyn.
And you said some things in Brooklyn when you came back after missing a lot of games early, and all of a sudden you're going to say we need more pieces, and these guys have been fighting and clawing while you were out handling the business. I thought that was somewhat out of line, but who am I to say that? So now – where he's at now, got getting voted into, that's also a leadership responsibility, a leadership position. Is he a leader in that realm? Will be my question. Now, I don't know. Maybe his peers think highly of him as far as knowing basketball and being able to, you know, brainstorm new ideas, but I'll have to wait and see.
They put his name in the hat. They put a bunch of names in a hat, and somebody blindly put a hand in the hat and pulled out the name Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, we'll say.
Let's not demean the man like that because, all right, he said it plenty of times. I'm pretty sure, you got to go to college at some point, or he went there even if it was just for a year or whatever. I mean, educated brother, or at least he sounds
a semester.
Like he's, you know, a semester. But he claims to be an educated brother. Okay, right. And in the realms
that's
of
coming
what
from
doing,
a graduate of the Institute. Not taking shots.
So, maybe you have something that you can give to the union as far as you're fighting for the players' rights.
Right.
And you've got enough equity as far as your star power that you've seen and done a lot when it comes to moving around for as far as a player. So you know what these players are going to want and what it is that you would like to bring to the table. Who knows what his pitch was to the rest of the guys around the league to say, hey, this is what we all need to be trying to fight for, and then they backed him up on that.
Now, one thing I did not know, and a point of fact, is that, you know, when we think of vice president, you know, in any, whether it's of the country, of a business, you know, of any organization, it's the president and then the guy right up under there. The way the NBA does it, you have several vice presidents. So you have the president, Chris Paul, and then they have the guy who is first vice president. That's Andre Iguodala. So okay, that power structure stays in place. Gary Temple, Malcolm Brogdon, there are other vice presidents that are vice presidents and hold that title in the Players Association.
It depends on where he is.
Bismack Biyombo, I believe, is one. So he's on that panel, but still equally, you know, respected now as a vice president.
Yeah, you got to vote as a higher up.
And basketball is a little bit unique. Just like when Chris Paul, you know, in his situation, who's he talking to, man? How many friends? That's just not coming from Chris Paul.
Right.
It's coming from the banana boat friends. It's coming from he having a pulse around the NBA, and it will be the same thing with Kyrie. He's not going to make an abrupt decision. Or whoever's in his Rolodex or his phone, he's going to call those guys up. What do you feel about this? And it's going to be a collaborative effort, no matter whose name, as far as the vice president.
And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, he sat right next to LeBron when LeBron held one of those chairs in the union, in the Players Association. So he's already had a chance to see kind of what it's like to hold that position and still try to play at the top of
the
game.
And he was a player, he is the player rep for the Nets. So coming in, just in his first season, he's already been voted the player rep for his team. So whatever he has, his relationship with his players, you know, his peers, they seem to respect him enough to put him up there with the people who are, they think, best to represent the team,
if
the players'
like
interest.
I love it.
I think it's been more of the media, we've given him more of a bad rep.
I'm like, not going to take responsibility for that. We put a mic in his face, and he's able to say whatever he wants.
This is my
to
thing.
I'm not taking responsibility.
I'm not taking – and to go home to – I'm not taking away the fact that he's an intelligent dude. I'm not – it's just – your intelligence sometimes has nothing to do with the way that you go about certain
leadership
things.
Like Joe said.
You don't call out – with Boston.
But it's way different in an on-court how I'm going to do something with players and how I'm going to do something in a ballroom when we actually have suit and tie.
Yeah, but it's about tact. Who's
to say he don't know that type of tact inside of a boardroom compared to on the floor? Yeah, he got that Kobe mentality. I'm going to call out my players. He might not take that same mentality into an actual room.
But he's calling out the players like they just some flat-out scrub.
Or like he is like Kobe and has 5 rings. You know, the things that were going wrong at the places where they went wrong, he was there with them. Our teammates didn't make him say anything.
It was never by mistake that Boston team was one game away from the finals. That's not by mistake. And then you come back the next year and they're worse than what they were the previous year. That's not by mistake.
And he had to call LeBron for help.
Forgot about that.
You can't tell me one team where Kobe sat out that was better without him.
Man, Kobe only been on one team. Come on now.
But it's different phases of the Lakers. He was on one team for 20 years, but it's not one phase for 20 years.
There's
multiple phases.
Even in those phases, it was still Kobe's team, and he still would call out his players. He would still say some. He would go and have those practices like, y'all ain't nothing.
But you know what, though?
And I could take
he earned that right. Kyrie ain't Kobe.
Amen.
He's
a champion.
Not Kobe. He is a champion,
with
and he's
LeBron.
Bringing something. Oh, man. You know, I give up. Because, like really, at the end of the day,
Kyrie was there.
I agree.
Here you go, Houston. I got you right here. See that Kobe Bryant thing? Kobe evolved as a leader. He absolutely evolved. We can't go and talk about the Mamba like he was always a top-notch leader. Whatever he earned. He was a 3-time champion on the first go-around with Shaq. And then all of a sudden, Shaq left, and the Boston Celtics beat those guys in 6 game and blew those guys out in that 6th game. And Kobe had to change up his leadership from that season. He said it, that I thought it was a hands-off type deal, let you guys go handle it and not be that abrasive guy that I was. I tried to change up. And he realized he couldn't do it, and he had had to learn. Right. So now with Kyrie Irving, are we trying to put leadership on him when he's not there yet? So he reached out to LeBron. Say, hey, I'm sorry because, you know, I handled it the wrong way. And he's in a position of learning. Maybe he's gotten better. Maybe his mishaps caused him to all of a sudden not do those type things again. And he's growing.
My whole thing is him in, him on the court and him in a boardroom, I believe, are not necessarily two separate people, but two totally different ways of how he would go about
could be
things. I just don't believe, because, I mean, this is the same guy who does already have his own signature shoe when he wasn't even – you know what I'm saying? Like, before LeBron came back and he was on this sorry Cleveland's team, he already had a Kyrie. He already got commercials and stuff. He's already been a face, so people wanted to put a camera on him, not just on the court. You got to have tact to be able to deal with those business type of people.
That's fair.
Not, you know what,
they're not gonna deal with you. They're not gonna deal with you if you're this same arrogant butthole all the time. You know, one of these days we're going to become an uncensored podcast. We're just going to let it all fly.
All free.
I mean, it is free.
Soon.
But you know what? I look at, and it may be unfair because every person is different. You look at somebody like Chris Paul. People may have their little things about Chris Paul, but one thing they never question is Chris Paul's leadership. And it's a connection in the leadership on the floor like it is like the connection in the boardroom. Why? Because it's connected. Mm. They look at it and say, you know what? We don't question Chris Paul's leadership. Why? Because Chris Paul has been a leader for as long as we can remember. Is Chris Paul aggravating on the floor? Sure, that's just his game. But one thing we all know, he's doing wonders with this Thunders team when nobody ever thought he would. Chris Paul has always been a leader, and which makes it transition a lot easier to the boardroom.
That brings us to what we'll talk about next time. Will Chris Paul get some MVP votes? Or should he get some MVP votes? Should he not be the MVP? You know, what are the storylines going into the last third of the season? And where are the teams that are going to be in the playoff hunt, you know, in the West? Because I think how the West finishes up and how those teams end up ordered is going to be very, very fun to watch the final few months of basketball. That'll do it for Drop Step Podcast for the College Football Hall of Famer, Joe Hamilton, Houston, the B-Dog, Brandon Harper. And home team, we'll see you next time here on the Drop Step Podcast.
Peace.
Already.